There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Mike Wise Show is back from its off-season hiatus, and boy, do we have some ground to cover. Unlike the NBA, which has discussed expanding to include Mexico City, the Mike Wise Show has beaten them to the punch. We will explain, but first, Darlene has tu thing. That's Spanish for do your thing.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Gracias, Darlene. Since our last visit, the Mike Wise Show has moved its operations to Mexico City. I'm serious. This week, my producer, Bruce Bernstein, joins me after a big weekend for his family. So we'll get caught up on all that, plus the first few days of the new NBA season. Hello, Bruce. Long time no talk.
Hello, old friend. Long time no talk, but it's great to be back with you. So, Mike, what are you doing south of the border?
Well, Bruce, I found that the American journalism industry sucks right now. There's no money in it. So I've become a Mexican drug lord and a coyote where I take people across the border. That's not true. I'm actually following. Do you know sometimes when your wife says something and at some point you realize that if you don't agree with her, things aren't going to go well down the road? Bruce?
Every day.
Yeah, I know. I know your marriage works whenever someone says at the end of the night, I'm sorry, Nancy. I know the feeling. And so what happened was my wife, Christina, actually applied for a job, a two-year posting in Mexico City through her job at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I don't want to get into all the details, but I thought it was a long shot. One day she came up to me and said, you're not going to believe this. I'm a finalist. And then the next day she got the job. It was insane. And we moved the family down here. My only commitment other than this was essentially a book contract that I'm working on. And I didn't really have, for the first time in 20 years, I didn't have to be in DC or New York to either be with a team or be in an office. And, so we rustled up the kids, brought them down here, and we're down here for 2 years, Bruce. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
Well, first of all, I know our listeners and I are both very, very grateful that because of technology, you still sound like you're in the greater Washington, D.C. area. And through the magic of computers and internet and whatever, not only can you continue to do the show, but I know Mexico has a very, very big interest in the NBA and in basketball. So you're really able to kind of stay on top of things as you always have. So I know personally, I'm grateful that we can continue working. And I hope that our listeners will also feel that way. I expect that they will.
Well, I hope so. And I also hope that the checks clear down here, because let me tell you right now, if what you guys pay me, if I can get that in the peso, I'm going to be living large. It's incredible.
we're going to send you wheelbarrows full of pesos.
Thank you. Look, before we get into the NBA, I have to ask you, your son, Mitch, who I know personally, who for a brief minute represented me from his old company, he got hitched in New York over the weekend. Tell me about it. I want to hear.
It was a wonderful, wonderful wedding. Mitchell is now married to the former Becca Lefkowitz. They had a wonderful wedding. They're an absolutely wonderful couple. Becca comes from a tremendous family. Her parents Kenny and Jackie put on a wonderful show. We had a great wedding on Saturday night in New York City. Beautiful couple, unbelievable band, unbelievable party. Kenny and Jackie pulled out all the stops, and we are so thrilled to be part of their family and to have them be part of our family. Mitchell and Becca are on their way to their honeymoon today. The families all are wonderful. It was beyond.
Are we allowed to say where they're honeymooning?
Yeah, they're honeymooning in the great state of Hawaii, where you, of course, have roots. So they're going to be out there. It's just, I couldn't be happier. I mean, they're a wonderful couple. They've been together for a while. Becca is a wonderful, warm, intelligent, loving, highly successful lady. Mitchell, is a graduate of law school, waiting to hear on the New York bar exam scores, which hopefully are going to go his way. And my heart is filled with joy. My wife, Nancy, all of our families, you know, as I said, Becca's family, we couldn't be happier. We're just so thrilled to have blended these two families. And we wish Becca and Mitch a life of joy, happiness, and every blessing possible. So thank you for asking, Mike.
Well, we have to move on from that, only because I've talked about it all day, but most of our listeners come from dysfunctional families, and yours sounds like actually they know what the hell they're doing. And so we just need to, we don't want to make, you know, we want this show to be like a reality show where you feel better about yourself because the people involved are so messed up. I can't go.
Oh, you mean like the Lakers?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great segue. We're the Lakers. Oh my gosh, I can't. You know, like I later on in the show, we're gonna have my five fearless predictions about the NBA. But what's sad is one of them. I think I had the Lakers winning the title. I have to change that before we get there, because the Lakers haven't just stumbled out of the gate. They've been curb stomped. I mean, they're fighting with each other on the bench and with fans in the front row at Staples Center. So, like, within a week, you know, somehow Jack Nicholson's going to go, "Here's Johnny." Oh, man. What is going on? Well, I mean, from afar, I read about it, I see it, but, like, I don't, like, it can't be that bad this early.
Well, I would, you know, I think everybody sort of anticipated some adjustments, you know, bringing in a new alpha dog like Russ, who isn't the problem at all, as far as I'm concerned at this point, but another, you know, great, you know, Hall of Fame caliber player, Carmelo Anthony. But watching Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis go out on the bench the other night, because I guess Dwight missed an assignment, but, you know, now Dwight, you know, over the course of his career has been a very physical guy, but looking at him with that kind of multicolored hairdo thing going back and forth with AD, I'm thinking to myself, I've always taken Dwight seriously as a player. I mean, he'll be in the Hall of Fame someday, but come on, dude, that hair. I mean, it's hard to take you as seriously as a tough guy when your hair looks like something that even, you know, Cardi B wouldn't want to be rocking, you know?
Oh, a little Cardi B reference.
You know.
Yeah, this is I like this. This is the old white guy podcast, and you just brought in Cardi B. That was almost Wilbon-esque. Like as somebody told me once, when I was a columnist at the Washington Post, they said I had to create a character for myself that Kornheiser was the curmudgeon. The old guy who just, you know, was always miserable about something. And that's who he really was in real life. And Mike Wilbon was in real life, he was Urkel, the nerd guy, but he always threw in Beyonce or somebody in his column to make him look like the hip guy that knows what everything's going on. That was your Wilbon-esque moment right there.
I also have a hip hop nickname courtesy of our mutual friend and dear, dear former colleague, Cassidy Hubbard. She dubbed me Killa B, and so we got to get you a hip hop nickname if you don't have one already. Do you have one?
No, I don't. It's like a tattoo. I'm never going to get a tattoo, and I don't think anybody's going to give me a hip hop nickname. I've given my son one, Oliver Wise. He's O Dub. I can't beat M-Dub. It's just, it's too goofy. I don't need it. And I don't want it, frankly.
We got to talk to Cassidy. She's got to get to work on this for you, because you know, it's the 21st century, for God's sakes. I mean,
yeah, you're
if
right.
you don't have you're a hip hop right. nickname and you're an NBA personality, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. And Cassidy's a former guest of the show. So I'll, if there is someone that'll give me one, I'll take it from her. Look, I was between watching how bad the Lakers were. One of the things I also saw was how good and how exciting Ja Morant was. Ja Morant's incredible.
Ja Morant right now is tied for the league lead in scoring. Memphis is 2-1. You know, they lost on Sunday night to the Lakers in a close game, lost by 3.
But he lit up the Staples Center.
Oh, yeah, he had 40. And that dude, man, I'm starting, you know, so a couple years ago, he was the number 2 pick. Zion was the number 1 pick. And while certainly nobody is going to say New Orleans made a mistake not taking Ja number 1, I'm starting to get this feel like not that I could in any way compare Zion Williamson to Greg Oden, but you'll remember Greg Oden was 1, Kevin Durant was 2 back in like 07 draft or whatever. I'm starting to get this vibe like maybe Ja should have been number 1 and Zion should have been number 2. But again, Zion fans, please. I like Zion a lot. I think he's already a star. He'll only get better. I'm only just thinking, Ja Morant, man, he looks like one of these like transformational type of talents, Mike.
Yeah, one of the reasons we lost a lot of listeners last year was because I came up with a Ja Morant song to Ba 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 Moran, and people didn't get that. Instead, only me, you, and some of our older listeners. And so I'm not going to do that this year, but we are going to celebrate him left and right.
That was sheer brilliance, that song. Are you kidding me? That was dope.
Yeah, okay. All right. The Lakers, of course, have stumbled out of the gate. Russell Westbrook says he isn't worried. I agree with him. I think it's too early to worry about all this. I think we move right on to Kyrie. You know, the vaccine mandate in New York is out there. It's official. The Brooklyn Nets don't want any part of any teammate, including what I consider the greatest skilled player of, you know, like this generation. He and Stephen Curry, what they do with the ball mesmerizes me. Kyrie Irving refuses to get the vaccine mandate. He's either started to listen to Joe Rogan or he's going to be part of the next January 6th insurrection. Where do you come down on Kyrie right now?
You know, with Kyrie, it's such a mixed bag because it's not like Kyrie is this like terrible human being. He's not. I mean, he was always very supportive of the WNBA players, even put his money where his mouth was when, you know, and helped, you know, provide some money to them when their season was.
Yeah. So if they wanted to. Yeah. Right. If they wanted to during the COVID season, the bubble in Orlando, he was basically, he and Chris Paul got together and they figured it out. And they essentially helped the WNBA players that didn't have enough money to take the season off. He funded them if they were feeling nervous about COVID or they wanted to just participate in all the Black Lives Matter movements. And he's Mr. Social Justice. I don't get it. It's such a, what do you call it? It's a contradiction of who he's, what he's about. Right. Really?
Exactly. So I'm not here to try and say that Kyrie Irving's a bad person. What I am here to do is question whether he's a bad teammate, because we saw the diva act in Boston. He told the fans, oh, I'm going to re-sign here if you'll have me. He then basically quit on the team. He goes to Brooklyn. He kind of entices Kevin Durant to come to Brooklyn with him. And now he's basically pulling something that I consider to be an extremely selfish move. Now, he's got enough money where, you know, losing salary certainly will hurt, but it's not the end of the world. But here's where I question. Here's my big question about Kyrie. Yeah. If you feel strongly about not being vaccinated and don't want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But if it was only affecting you, all right, if the fact that, you know, you were non-vaccinated was only affecting you, I could live with that in a lot of ways. But by not being vaccinated, he's basically punishing his teammates, the people that he's supposed to be, you know, band of brothers, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And this is just in general with the people that don't want to get vaccinated. This isn't so much applying to Kyrie, that what I'm about to say is, when you choose not to be vaccinated, you're not just making a personal decision, unless you plan to stay in a bunker in your house and never leave home. Because with these breakthrough infections, you can infect other people even if they're vaccinated. And by you being selfish and you deciding, well, it's a personal choice, it's really not a personal choice. No. It's a public health issue. And people who try and say, oh, it's a personal choice, they're full of crap. I'm not buying
it. Yeah, you know what a personal choice is? A personal choice is a tetanus shot.
Right.
You know? It's getting a vaccine for something that's not contagious.
Right.
This is contagious. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is, I don't understand. Like, I'm in Mexico. People down here, irrespective of their political leanings, they don't make COVID a political issue. They say, oh, wow, the vaccine's out there. How can I get it? And when can I get it? It's like, all I'm glad is, God bless America and God bless the world, that most of our parents didn't yell at the government and say, hey, I have civil liberties. Don't give my children the measles, rubella and polio vaccines, because a lot of us wouldn't be alive or we'd be in wheelchairs today. I mean, I just don't get it. I really don't. And I understand how polarized the country is. I just don't know why this has to be a part of it. I will say this, once Kyrie decided that this was going to be the hill that he died on, at least this season, he became part of America's culture wars, because Donald Trump Jr., of all people, put out a tweet saying, Kyrie Irving just showed more courage than Colin Kaepernick ever did. And I mean, I was thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Like, all these idiots, from Laura Ingraham to everybody and their mom on Fox, maybe except Chris Wallace, because he seems sensible. We're all about stick to sports, LeBron. I'm tired of this. You guys shut up and dribble, all of you people. But the moment somebody comes out for something on their side, oh, wait a minute, this young man has something to say. He's got conviction. And I'll say the hypocrisy goes to my side too, because all of us are saying, wait a minute, this guy's got a message. We love this social conscience renaissance in America. But the minute Kyrie says, I'm not getting vaccinated, all we say is, you dummy, you have some of the greatest tools in the history of the game. You are a joy to watch when you play out of your mind, and your shot making ability, your ball handling ability, what you can do on the basketball court is so incredible. Shut up and get the vaccine. We don't want him to make a message. We don't want him to tell everybody that he's not getting the vaccine for a reason, because that's against our value system.
I felt like if the Nets busted out of the gate at, say, 14-2, right? And they're just on. I was thinking to myself, that's when Kyrie might have a change of heart and decide, you know what? I want to be a part of this thing, because maybe they don't really need me all that much, and I need to show them that they do need me. But on the other hand, if they, they're struggling a little bit out of the gate right now, nothing to panic about, really, because they've got Hall of Famers on their team. So I don't know if the Nets, all of a sudden are 6-7, and then the fans might, start getting down on Kyrie. Will that motivate him to get the vaccine? So I don't know. I mean, Kyrie Irving is a puzzle that I just have no idea how to solve. So, and I'm not even going to pretend I do.
I don't think a lot of people are. Let's get to a couple of the surprises.
Yeah.
I would say that the Knicks starting 2-0 was great until they lost to maybe the worst team in the NBA, Orlando, on Sunday. As Cole Anthony, the son of former Knick Greg Anthony, who I know very well and will join this program at some point, just lit them up for 29 points, 16 boards, 8 assists. I mean, the more and more I love seeing these, whoever they play for, these kids of former NBA players basically lay waste to the notion that you have to come from a really tough, bad background to make it to the NBA. No, actually you don't. These kids all play each other now. And even kids who go to great schools have the tools to do what they need to do. And so, yeah, whether it's Steph Curry, whether it's Klay Thompson, whoever it is, I think it's a great story.
Last night, or Sunday night rather, I was watching, you know, after the Celtics-Houston game, I flipped it over to NBA TV and our good pal Jared Greenberg was on and they were showing, you know, the end of the Knicks-Orlando game. And they were saying that, you know, Greg, who's also a friend of mine, a former colleague at ESPN, Greg's career high in a game at Madison Square Garden, and he played for the Knicks for years, was 23 points. And Cole, son of Greg, like blew past him, not only with 29, but as you mentioned, 16 rebounds and 8 assists. It's like, and you know, Cole was a super highly recruited player out of New York, and you know, went to North Carolina for a while. And so it's great to see him. I mean, it's always wonderful to see a young guy step up like that big. And the Knicks, the only question I have about the Knicks is, how long before they start getting annoyed with Tom Thibodeau and Tom Thibodeau gets annoyed with them. So, but I think, I mean, the Knicks are clearly a very good team, a playoff team for sure. Possibly even a, you know, as high as a fourth, maybe even a third seed, although that's probably a little bit ambitious, but the opening night game against Boston, which was a double overtime thriller. All I can say when I was watching that game was the fans at Madison Square Garden were out of their minds. It was crazy. Nobody was wearing masks. Everybody was screaming. It was a warm night. So what I have, my opinion of that was, if nobody got sick from COVID-19 at Madison Square Garden the other night during that overtime game, I'm declaring the pandemic over because if ever there was a super spreader event waiting to happen with 20,000 people just roaring at the top of their lungs in double overtime for, you know, 3 hours plus. I mean, I hope to God everybody, you know, that was there is safe and healthy. And that's all I have to say about that. So it's nice to see the Knicks-Boston rivalry potentially reheating again. That's always fun when New York and Boston are kind of equals and going at it.
Well, I think when you talk about the pandemic, the Penn State 9 overtime game.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If Illinois outlasting them in the longest game in college football history, if that doesn't have a bunch of super spreader infections next week, I think that we're in a better place than we were, and it doesn't allow Kyrie, it doesn't give him a choice whether or not he should be vaccinated. But it puts us in a better place as a society, and I'm happy about that. All right, I'm going to move to my 5 fearless predictions.
Wait, can we do one more thing real quick before that?
And yeah, I promise I'll make it quick.
Stephen Curry, in the first three, Golden State's 3-0, they've already run the table in California with the teams. They've beaten the Lakers, they've beaten the Clippers, they've beaten the Kings. Steph is averaging 31 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. So let's keep our eye on the Warriors. You know, they could be sneaking up the standings really, really quick, but I do want to hear your 5 fearless predictions. I know
I think that's a great point because I thought to myself this when I read this the other day, it said Stephen Curry is now 34 years old. And I'm going, wow, Steph's 34, even though he looks 22 because he's got that baby face. Mm. He's like the baby faced assassin. You know, you just don't know when he's going to explode. He's probably in the same mindset LeBron was a couple of years ago, where he's thinking to himself, I don't have a lot of time here to win another one and show my wares. I have to do this, Clay or not. And, you know, and I think Bob, God, who's the GM at Golden State?
Bob Myers.
I think they made some very small but important acquisitions in the offseason, some good role players around them. And when Clay comes back, who knows? You know, I think, look, I love Golden State, not just because of Steph, because they moved the ball. They gave the modern day NBA a recipe for how to play and whether you like the 3-and-D or not, it's the way the NBA has gone. I just think they're fun to watch. If Steph Curry's ends up as an MVP again, I'll be nonetheless happier. I mean, this'd be a great thing for him and the organization. And shoot, if they got to the finals, oh man, that would be awesome. All right, go
Absolutely.
Ahead.
Absolutely. No. So I know you have your five fearless predictions, and one of them happens to be about the aforementioned Klay Thompson. And I don't know what order you want to go in, but did you see how the team?
I'm going to go with the biggest news yet.
Okay, first. But did you see how the team trolled Klay for not making the top 75 players? Did you see what they did?
No, what did they do?
Okay, so there was a tie for 75. So the top 75 players were actually the top 76 players, okay? So they gave him a jersey with the number 77 on it because he didn't make the top 75 plus one. So, but he wore it.
Wait, who beat him out?
Oh, well, I don't have the list in front of me, but there was, you know, he didn't make it. And I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true or not, you mentioned Kyrie before, that he was originally on there, but somehow or another was magically removed because of the vaccination thing. I don't know if it's true. It's one of those social media things that you never really can know if it's true or not. But anyway, I just thought the whole Klay thing was great. And it just shows what a great human being he is, that he would not only accept that, but actually wear the jersey around where there, you know, there's pictures on Twitter and whatever. But anyway, I want you to do your five fearless predictions because I think these are going to be really good.
Well, first of all, I should say right off the bat that I'm glad Bill Walton made the 75. I think it was Mark Spears, God bless him, former colleague. He argued that Dwight Howard should have replaced him. Anybody watching the bench the other night would realize that Bill Walton is probably, not just because I like him and he's a guest of the show, probably the greatest 7-footer that ever played as an interior passer and an outlet guy. Like there's nobody could, you know, like some guys, I guess Jokic reminds me of him a little bit. Embiid's got some nice skills. Shaq was great in the double team when it came, but man, Bill Walton was special. I don't even know what we could debate that list all day, but I guess my five fearless predictions start out pretty easily. The Milwaukee Bucks will be evacuated from the championship throne.
Wow.
Agree or disagree?
It's so hard to repeat. You have the target on your back every night. Health is such an issue. But I think the East is actually, you know, pretty tough conference. It's not like the Little Sisters of the Poor anymore. I mean, there's some teams they're going to have to get past just to get to the finals. So I'm not going to root against them because, you know, with Giannis, he's the MVP, right? And when you have the best player on the floor, I mean, most nights you should win. So I'm not necessarily going to disagree, but you could be right. I mean, look, there's, you know, I don't know who's going to beat them, but, you know, injuries, health, you never know.
Klay Thompson will be congratulated as the sixth man of the year. Yes, Steve Kerr will use him off the bench so effectively. He will be instant offense like Vinnie Johnson was in Detroit. Give me a modern day guy, Jamal Crawford. Think of a six man that just came on. Anyway, Klay Thompson, I have great faith that he will recover from injury and be a special player again.
Carmelo Anthony is off to a very good start in the six man role with the Lakers. He put up 28 in their first win on Sunday night. He's averaging around 17, 18 points a game. So he may give Klay a little run for the money there, but, you know, I trust your judgment, Mike, so you could very well be right.
Well, and then you will – KD and Harden will be over-exaggerated as the favorites to win it all. Yes, I think that the Brooklyn Nets will have a great season and get to the finals, but they won't win it. They will not win it. And you know why?
Why?
Because LeBron, AD, and Russ, and Carmelo, and Dwight Howard – will all be castigated on their way to their second title in 3 years.
You know, there's no bigger LeBron James fan than myself, although he's never played on a team that I root for. I think for them, there's going to just be some adjustments, but And they are the oldest team in the league, by the way. The average age on their roster is over 30. Okay.
Which is why I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
It's why I root for Tom Brady.
Well, listen, if the Lakers win it all, I mean, I'll be very happy for LeBron. You know how much I admire him on any number of levels. So you could be right. I would say, you know, they could very well come out of the West. They just need to get their act together, stay healthy, do a little load management on some of those old dudes so that they're peaking at the right time. So, yeah, I mean, if you're right about that one, I don't have a problem, even though I'm a Celtics fan.
Number five, my final one, Uncle Drew, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie, Dr. Fauci Irving will be vaccinated. See what I did there? The alliteration, exaggerated, evacuated, over-exaggerated, castigated, vaccinated. It all came down to that. I believe that Kyrie Irving will be vaccinated.
I don't know if any of our listeners are old enough to remember Nipsey Russell, who I believe was the original rapper.
Of course I remember Nipsey Russell. He was on the original Match Game, Bruce.
That was dope.
It's time to wrap things up. Thank you, Bruce, for joining me on this comeback tour. Now, please hit us with the promos.
Thank you, Mike. Our wonderful editor, Kristen Woolley, has moved on, but Drew Rich is now working his magic at the controls, and we welcome Drew to the team as our brand new Drew. They're not booing. They're saying, Drew, please check out all of our Pure Hoops media shows, Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin. We'll be back from their vacation this week. And the Buckets, Boards, and Blocks team of Monica McNutt and King McClure will also be returning. BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman hope to return soon as well with the Pure Hoops podcast. And of course, we'll have a new Mike Wise show every week. And if you'd like to hear some choice discussions from all of our shows, subscribe to the Pure Hoops Media Quick Hitters. And we have many great video segments on our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search for Pure Hoops Media. Mike, land the plane.
Drew, Uncle Drew, not you, Drew Rich. Please get vaccinated. Please. If you choose not to, you're making a mistake that could come back to haunt you. If you're one of the misguided souls who haven't gotten a vaccination, keep wearing the mask in public so you don't get anyone else sick. If you believe the news, COVID cases are more deadly in areas where fewer people are vaccinated. So why would you put yourself at risk? Be smart. Go get the shot so you and we can all eventually lose the masks and people can see our smiling faces again. Keep your guard up and be smart. Until next time, adios. Hasta luego, amigos.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.